We live in very forgetful times. Very, very forgetful times. How often have we posted something on Facebook and then it gets buried in the newsfeed and everyone forgets about it? Basically every day. How often do we take photos? We've taken thousands and thousands of photos on our smartphones, and then we rarely look at them again. We think we're taking them so that we can remember them, but I never actually look at those photos. They just live on my iPhone forever. Or how often do we, you know, get bombarded with all sorts of things on social media to be completely outraged over, completely offended by on a daily basis, and then the next week, the next month, we have forgotten all about it? I mean, that's me. I don't remember what I was offended by last week. And then on a more personal note, and this was kind of a hilarious situation, just last night, yesterday afternoon, I was on my way over to the grocery store. I went to Harris Teeter to pick up some groceries to cook dinner. And I came home and I got the crock pot out and I was putting everything together. And lo and behold, I had forgotten the chicken back at Harris Teeter. At first I was really, really angry with myself, but then I realized, wait, this will be awesome for my family. But forgetfulness, it's part of our daily experience. It's something that we all struggle with. But it's especially a serious problem when it comes to our relationship with God. How can we love God with our whole heart, with our whole mind, with our whole strength, with everything that we have, if we forget about it? I remember when I worked as a graphic designer, there were days when I went home and I realized I had not thought about God this entire day. And it was like striking. I had forgotten about him. We forget. We see forgetfulness in striking fashion in our first reading from today when it comes to those forgetful Israelites who are wandering around in the desert for 40 years. These are the chosen people of God. They had personally witnessed the most overwhelming, the most convincing, the most magnificent miracles that the Lord had ever made happen up to that point. They had seen everything firsthand. They saw the plagues against Egypt. They saw the Passover sacrifice. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw the walls of water on either side of them as they walked on dry land. They saw everything, these very same Israelites. And yet, we read today that they were forgetting. They were forgetting what God had accomplished for them. And they were grumbling. So we read, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Would that we had died in the land of Egypt as we sat by our flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. But you Moses, you Aaron, or maybe you God, had to lead us into this desert to make the whole community die of famine. They're blaming God. They're forgetting what he's done for them. And it's easy for us to sit in our pews. I don't know how comfortable they are for you. But it's easy for us to sit in our comfortable little pews and rag on the Israelites in the desert. But let's be perfectly honest. Are we so very different from those Israelites? Don't we get lost in the desert on a daily basis? Don't we constantly complain about this, that, and the other thing and act like God couldn't possibly provide for us? Don't we forget the chicken at Harris Teeter from time to time? Don't we question God's goodness? Don't we find ourselves not trusting him? Don't we sometimes look back on our old way of life, our former life, and think, wow, boy, things were way easier when I didn't care about God. Things were way easier when I was not Christian or not converted or whatever your situation is. Christianity is hard. We all find in ourselves a little bit of Egypt, and it's called original sin. We tend to look back. We're prone to pine for our former ways. And all of this dysfunction stems from a deep forgetfulness of God's goodness. We forget the amazing proof of God's love for us. And where did he prove his love for us most clearly but on the cross, where Jesus emptied himself completely, holding absolutely nothing back? He proved his love for us. And yet we forget. We forget sometimes. But thankfully, God never stops reminding us of that love that Jesus poured out. In fact, that is the entire project of the church that Jesus founded, to proclaim him crucified in the face of apathy, forgetfulness, persecutions of all kinds. The church, guided by the Holy Spirit, is called to remind the entire world that sin is defeated. It's done. That God the Father is on our side and desires us to love him above all else. We have a God who is constantly reminding us, calling us back, overcoming all of our forgetfulness. And that is why the sacraments are so crucial. They are a reminder, a daily reminder of God's incarnate love for us. When we come to Mass, it's Jesus offering the Mass. When we go to confession, it is Jesus who's forgiving our sins. It's our reminder of God's incarnate love. They remind us of how far our God is willing to go in order to save us. And that brings us to today's gospel, which picks up right where we left last week. So last week, you might remember, we heard the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And this week, we pick up right after that, and the people are following Jesus because they got free food, and Jesus knows that, and they wonder, they're like, well, who is this Jesus? Like, Jesus, what can you do for us? And they seem to remind him of what God did in the past. Imagine that, reminding Jesus of something. And they say, our ancestors ate manna in the desert. What can you do for us? And Jesus responds very simply. He says, you know, the manna that your ancestors ate was only a shadow. That bread was only a preview of the true bread come down from heaven, the bread that I will give for the life of the world. And the people, their interest is once again piqued. They're like, wow, this bread sounds even better. Well, give us this bread always, Jesus. It says, sir, give us this bread always. But then Jesus says something completely unexpected, completely new, completely shocking. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Jesus says that. And these words are shocking now as they were 2,000 years ago. Over the course of the next few Sundays, as Father mentioned, we'll be hearing Jesus explain what he means by these strange words, I am the bread of life. But for now, it's enough for us to say that the Holy Eucharist is where Jesus reminds us in a profound and efficacious and lasting way of his unending love for us. In fact, the Eucharist is meant to smash to smithereens our forgetfulness. And it's supposed to reveal to us that every time we come to Mass, the real presence of our unforgettable Savior is here, on this altar, in our bodies right now. St. Jose Maria Escrivá once described the Eucharist as a frenzy of love. And what he means by this, and I love that image, a frenzy of love, is that in the Eucharist, Jesus is relentlessly pouring himself out for us. It's a frenzy because it's so excited, it's so on fire, it's so ridiculous, it's over the top, it's outlandish. And so this outlandish love is willing and eager to be consumed. That's even crazier, that he would give us his body and blood to eat, to drink. We're used to it because we're Catholics. It's just, you know, every week we do the same thing and it becomes routine. But here again, he gives us the Eucharist because he knows that we forget. He knows that we forget. He knows that we need to be daily reminded of his love. And so I ask you, and I ask myself this every day, in the face of so reckless, so frenzied a love, how can we forget? How can we afford to forget? And yet, we're weak, we're broken, we're not perfect, right? We stumble, we forget. And Jesus perfectly understands that. Jesus perfectly understands that. So listen again to St. Paul's words from our second reading to the letter to the Ephesians. He writes, I declare and testify in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. That is not how you learn Christ. So put away the old self of your former way of life and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self, he says, which is to say, forget about Egypt. Forget selfishness. It's boring. Forget the devil and all of his lies. Remember instead that your life has a divine purpose. Remember instead that you are worth God's own blood. Remember instead that you are made not for comfort, but for greatness. Remember instead that God never discourages you, he never lies to you, and he never ignores you. Remember that forgiveness is always, 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 always a thousand times always available in the sacrament of reconciliation. Remember that you are never a lost cause, no matter what anyone might say. Remember that Jesus isn't dead. He's not in the tomb. The tomb was empty. He's alive. And remember most of all that in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, where Jesus again says, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in memory of me. In the bread of life come down from heaven, we receive the fullness of life. We receive the crucified and risen Lord himself. We receive that frenzy of love. Now, I reflected on this at the 8 a.m. Mass, that every time a Eucharistic minister says, body of Christ, the body of Christ, the body of Christ, or the blood of Christ, the blood of Christ, the blood of Christ, it sounds like a mantra, but it's God's frenzied love over and over and over and over and over and over. It's amazing. Not 10 minutes ago, you heard those words. You consumed the living God. So remember that you tasted eternity. Remember that you encountered life and love himself. And he, Jesus, promised us. He promised us that whoever comes to me will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. Remember that. Hold on to that. Stake your life on that. And you can forget everything else.